many of you actually looked at one of these today so far, or actually woke up to one of these? Can you imagine what life would be like if we didn't have some system of time? Be awesome. I talk about craziness. There's a whole bunch of people who think this is just awesome, and there's a whole bunch of people who think, what in the world is going on? I mean, it's just chaos and all that. So, but why time? I mean, why did this even begin? Well, it does help us organize our life. It also helps us to see that life does have a beginning and it does have an end. That there's things that are temporal in life. So time does have an essence. There's also the opportunity for us to be good stewards of our time. So time, the way we know it, does have a purpose. But God in himself, he is eternal. So he's not affected by time. And actually there's a verse in Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were born, are you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has gone by, or like a watch in the night. How many of you have ever skipped a stone on water? You ever done that? How many of your stones went more than 5 times? Oh, how about 10? Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, there's a great place up at Catawba Island, the state park there. If you go out there, they got great round, big round, flat stones to skip through there. So it's very nice. We got several of them at our house decorating. I don't know if that's illegal or not, but that's... Shh, get that part out of there. Yeah, that part. But you know, compared to eternity, our life is like one skip of a stone skipping on the water. That's really, compared to eternity, that's what it's like. And the fact is, we only get one skip. We don't get several skips across there. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, and just as it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. There's no do-over in life. There's no mulligan. Which is, from my understanding, was named after Dr. Mulligan from someplace in Canada, who basically said after a shot one time, I'm going to do this over. So that's where that came from, is if you play golf at all, that's where that came from. There is no do-over. There is a difference between us and God, if you didn't already know that. But one of them is that he always was. And I know that's hard to fathom. Yeah, I like watching different science shows and you know, the top cosmologists. Now that's not the people who put stuff on your face. These are people who study the space and all that. The top ones in the world said, "Well, you know, we really come to one conclusion that everything just started from nothing." I thought, "Well, that's what our Bible says too," except we know who started everything from nothing and stuff. So, But the fact is that he always was. He's eternal. Yes. And we do have a beginning. But once our beginning starts, we also become eternal. All of us, whether we like to admit it or not, we become eternal. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, which King Solomon wrote, who is considered... God gave him the gift of wisdom above all people back then. And he says that God has set eternity into the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So there's this place in us when we begin, when we have this life, that God has placed that in us. Whether we want to admit it or not, there is an essence of eternity inside our heart. So everyone lives forever. And you know, the topic of eternity is very broad. And there's sometimes, you know, when you're preparing, when I'm preparing a message or some message, it's so easy to prepare. There's some, it's a little bit harder because, you know, there's two sides to it. There's the positive, then there's the negative part of it. And I know there's lots of people who've had a lot of visions and written a lot of stuff of what eternity is like. People have said, well, I had an out-of-body experience, or I had a vision, or they were in a coma or something, and they saw different things and stuff. And I don't know. Do I get there? I don't know. I can't say the right or wrong, but I can say what the Bible says, because the Bible does tell us about eternity, and where we spend it depends on what we do with our skip. What happens in that skip in life is going to determine where to depend. It's not so much, it's not going to be based on our works. It's going to be based on our faith. What we believe, what do you put our faith in that? Because you could have the greatest works ever and still miss eternity where God intended you to go. How many of you have been to some place where you had to show them a wristband or a ticket, or they scanned your phone or something like that? You ever been at? Well, you know, in some ways, that's what's happening with eternity. There's this gatekeeper, and there's something that's going to be checked to decide where you're going to go, where you're going to spend eternity. You know, where you're going to get in. And it's not Cedar Point, I'll tell you that right now. There's a verse in John 10, and Jesus says, he says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to me. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There's a lot of ticket sales going on out there. A lot of ticket sales trying to sell mankind and deceive mankind and to say, no, this is the ticket. This is the one you want to get. But there's only one ticket, only one way that we get to spend eternity and where God intended us, and that's through our faith in Jesus. It's putting our faith in Jesus. You know, the choice we make, whether we experience what the Bible defines as eternal life, or for those who do not put their faith, actually it's called in the scriptures the second death. I know a lot of people call it hell, call it something else, but the Bible actually calls it the second death, because absence of God is death. So that's really what eternity they're talking about, is that you're either spending it in the presence of God or you're spending it out of the presence of God. You either have eternal life or you have the second death. That's what the scriptures clarifies what that is. And the second death is not an enjoyable place to be. You know, the second death, actually, when we're talking, you know, and we've heard all kinds of terms and definitions, and there's different Greek words throughout the scriptures that, you know, the word hell is defined as several different words and stuff. But you realize that the lake of fire was actually made only, the Bible says, for the devil and the angels that left heaven, that rebelled against heaven. That's why it was created. Jesus said, Matthew 25:41, he says, "Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." It was not created for mankind. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, "The devil who deceived them," which is what he is, he's a deceiver, "was thrown into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So that's what that is. But all people will come, all of us will have a time what's called the great judgment. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. I used to not believe it. It's going to happen. And there's a lot of stuff, whether I believe it or not. I could stand out in the middle of 23 and say, I don't believe these cars are going to hit me. I don't believe this is a dangerous place. But you know what? It's going to happen. And there is going to be a judgment someday of all people. And there's going to be these different books. The Bible talks about there's different books. There's one set of books that we're judged based on what we do. Now, I thank God as Christians that we have forgiveness and we're covered by the forgiveness of Jesus. So those things and those sins were forgiven for me. But there is also a place called the Book of Life. And if I was going to say one book you really, 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 really want to make sure that you got, you're checked in on that book, you got a reservation and you're in there, is the book of life. Because that's the one that's going to determine where you spend eternity. The other one determines what you, basically, whatever there's going to happen there. But I'm not concerned as much as that, even though we do have, all of us, whether you're Christian or not Christian, believer or non-believer, are accountable for our life. But the other book, the book of life, was what the Bible says determines where we're going to spend eternity. And part of that is realizing that it's only by the grace through Jesus that we're forgiven. But in the midst of all this, in the midst of God creating this, I, you know, you think about, well, God, why did you do this? I don't know about you, but I think that. Why did you do that, God? Why did you set this up like this? Why couldn't we just have heaven or nothing? Now, we go back to think, who am I? God knows all things. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for mankind. I'm thinking, what would happen when we realize that God, even with the reality that there is accountability, that even in the midst of that, what's going on in the earth? What would happen if there was no accountability? What would happen if people realized, I don't ever have to give account for my life? I can do whatever I want in this life, poof, it's over. So somehow God knew there's somehow he needed to put an accountability there. And yet he gave us that free choice to choose. Everyone has a choice where they want to spend eternity. You know, the devil had a choice. The angels aren't robots. They have a choice. They could choose whether to follow God or not follow him. Even the heavenly beings have a choice, and they chose to rebel. We have that choice. We have the same choice. And in some ways, you could really say God never sends anybody to heaven or hell. He never sends anybody. We choose. We choose where we want to go. But God, his heart was, that would never happen. We would never, not one single person would ever be absent from him. That everybody would get to be in his presence. When God created us, when he created mankind in Genesis, you can read Genesis 1 and 2, he wasn't creating them for spend eternity in hell or spend eternity in lake fire. He was creating mankind to spend eternity with him. Yet he gave him that free choice. He gave him the choice to do it. In 2 Peter, I think we got it up on the scriptures here. Oh, we did that one. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In 2 Timothy, it says, God wants all people to be saved. This is one of those times God does not get his will. Because he made his free choice, he doesn't get what he wants. Because he wants everybody to go to heaven. He wants everybody to experience eternal life. But he doesn't get that because he made us a people of choice. So we think about, you know, there is the lake of fire. It's just a horrible place. It's nasty. The teeth is so bad. And I don't know what it's like. I don't want to know what it's like to a point to experience it. But I do believe it's important for us to understand it's there and it's reality. But he's made this other place called eternal life. We call it heaven, but it's really eternal life. And what is that like? Well, it says in the book of Revelation, says that's a place where every tear will be wiped from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. All the old things have passed away. And we've read it's a beautiful place. There's all these things, whether you believe that's symbolic or whatever it stands for. The presence of God is the sunshine in there. Realizing it's a place of God's there, then all the fruit of the Holy Spirit's going to be there. It's going to be a place of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. We see when Jesus in Isaiah 61, he came, it's going to be a place where there's no more brokenhearted. If you read that, that's why Jesus came. If Jesus came to do that here, this is what's going to be like there. There's freedom for us. There's a release from darkness. There's a comfort for those who mourn. There's joy instead of mourning. And so all these things is what God has come to give us. But we have that freedom to choose. Hopefully, there's a couple things that are happening in your heart as we're sharing this. One is that there's an appreciation for this great salvation we've gotten. There's appreciation. It's like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this great salvation. But two, there's a motivation in our heart that, Lord, help us to help people know you. Help us not just not care if this person, we don't care where they go. I don't care what happens to them. Put something in our heart, God. Let your Holy Spirit move us that we do care. You know, Bible says that God so loved the world, he sent his son. That's how much he cared. And I know I was one of those. I didn't care. If you would come up and tell me, I don't care. You know, I was at that point in my life. But by the grace of God, by somebody praying for me, because I know somebody was praying for me, my heart changed. You know, from the beginning of mankind, God gave us choices. And he made this, he didn't make this complicated. He didn't make it hard for us to enter in. He says, yet to all who did receive him, referring to Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or human's will, but born of God. We all start at the same place. Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of God. I'm one of those all. And it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God has given us the opportunity to have this eternal life in Jesus. You think, well, what about those who never had a church to go to? Or those who never heard, you know, John 3:16? Well, the scripture tells us that in Romans chapter 1, it says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. I was in that one of those. I was in that place. But God said, somehow, knowing God, that he is representative, if somebody is looking for him, they're going to find him. He will be found. He promises that throughout the scripture, that he will be found by us. Jesus said that this is eternal life. This is what eternal life. If you don't want this, then you're going to the wrong place. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Jeff, if you get the ushers, so go ahead and pass out the little stones. We have a little stone that we're going to give you, all of you today. It's a little skipping stone. And it's just to remind every one of us that our life is just like a skip. And we will be held accountable for that. And what are we doing with that life? What are we doing for God? What are we doing? How are we living our life? Some might think, well, how do you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life? Because there's a lot of people I've talked to who says, well, I hope I get to go to heaven. I hope everything's going to be okay when I get there. I hope I have eternal life. You know, you don't have to hope. You can know. You can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. The scripture says you can know that you have eternal life. In John chapter 1, we get to that here. In 1 John 5, I'm going to start reading verse 12. It says, this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, who is Jesus, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. You don't have to hope. You can know. You could know that you have eternal life. So what's God saying to you? What's he saying about the life that he's given you? What is he saying about your skip? How are you making ripple? You know, when you skip a stone, it ripples. And what kind of ripples are you making? for even those, you know, you have an impact. What's that? Your life, believe it or not, and there's scriptures, but believe it or not, it says this, your life impacts people. Doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, what race you are, what gender you are, your life impacts other people. So how's your skip going? How's it going? Doesn't mean, you know, we don't have struggles in this, but Jesus came, he says he came that we might have, that verse I read earlier, he came that we may have life and have it to abundance. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Are you experiencing this eternal life right now? You know, you don't have to wait. I think, I don't know if Andy, somebody said it this morning, we don't have to wait till we die to experience eternal life. The moment you're born again, because realize eternal life is a relationship with Jesus, relationship with the Father, the Holy Spirit. That can happen right now. That begins. We all are in eternity right now. It just depends where we spend it for the rest of our days. If our musicians could come on back up, please, and if our personal ministry team would come up here, please. So maybe you haven't made that step of knowing that you know that you know. Maybe you haven't prayed that prayer and said, Jesus, I trust you. I'm believing you. I receive you as my Savior and the forgiveness of sins that you came to give me. It's interesting. The only thing separating you from that is your choice. Is this so simple? Just like walking in a room and flipping a switch. That's really what it is. It's flipping the switch of faith in your heart. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? If you're willing, maybe even turn to somebody beside you and say, have you received Jesus as your Savior? If they say yes, that's great. If they say no, you can say, would you like to? Would you like to receive Jesus? Would you like to know that you know? And you know, it's great to come up. We believe in prayer. You come up to one of these ones, they'll pray with you. You can pray right at your seat. Just ask him to receive him as your Savior. But also, that's just the beginning of eternal life. It's having that relationship with him. So if we go ahead and stand, I'm going to close with prayer, and Justin's going to lead us in a song. Justin will close us in prayer. But I am going to pray. Father God, we do thank you for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, that you did make us people freedom of choice. But Lord, you didn't leave us. You didn't forsake us. Lord, we welcome, God, this day that you would just continue to show us and reveal yourself to us, Lord. Lord, that you would help us to be good stewards of this skip that you've given us in life, Lord. You said that you came that we may have life and have it to the fullest, that this skip would be full of life, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would give us a heart for the lost. Lord, for those who don't know you, God. Lord, we can't control their choices, but we can show them you. We can show them who you are and your great love for them, Lord. And we just welcome that you would help us to be your ambassadors here, God. Ambassadors of eternal life, God. You said that you came not to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus. Lord, we just welcome a release this day as we go out from here. That we take on that commission, God. That we don't go out from here to condemn the world, God. But we to help the world to know Jesus, to know you. We give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Welcome as